Welcome back to Right Side Radio. Jeff Poor Ed on this Tuesday afternoon for Phil Williams on Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Coming up in about an hour, my colleague at 1819 News, Craig Monger, we're going to talk about the passing of John McLaughlin last night. So stay tuned for that. But joining us now from y'all's Nick of the Woods, and I thought it would be good to get him on. My friend, he's a member of the Alabama legislature solid conservative guy, appropriate for this sitting. State Representative Ernie Yarborough joins us on the line. Representative, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon, sir. I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for having me on, and I appreciate you filling in. And it's just amazing to see how God has blessed the radio show there and the work that's being done. So thanks for the opportunity to speak and share my voice.
Well, and thank you for coming on. Let's start here. It's clearly the off season, as they say, for the Alabama legislature, and a lot of the attention is on the election cycle. Very interesting races at the top of the ballot, for sure. But I've talked to some of your colleagues in the last, I don't know, in over the last couple of months, and I tell you, it seems, Representative, a little slower than normal. Not as many controversies bubbling up, and I mean, that's to be expected. It may be in an off cycle year, but how's your off season been?
Oh, it's going great. You know, we at the end of last session, you know, there was some things kind of slowed down in the Senate. You know, there was one day in particular in the House that we passed, like it was a Thursday. And I will never forget. We passed them. I mean, it was like, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 just fantastic bills that I was just, I don't know that I've ever been more proud of one day's work than that day. But, you know, we sent several good pieces of legislation upstairs, and through various reasons of, you know, maybe a couple of members of the Senate, things slowing down, things didn't get passed. But I think, you know, my focus was, therefore, at the end of the session, I pre-filed a couple of bills to get movement, because I feel like that there's steam and momentum building, you know, and you referenced, you know, those statewide races that are, you know, I think people feel like, you know, the work of things like Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, maybe some 1819 News and API and other groups, and no doubt, I think probably the steps of Tommy Tuberville, governor to be, probably Coach Tuberville, is, you know, I think we just continue to see this. I feel like this push from various angles, you know, to make Alabama more and more conservative. And so I'm cautiously optimistic with the two bills that I pre-filed that will get movement, you know, not for my sake, but for the good of the people of Alabama. So I don't know that I've ever been more excited to be a member of the House.
Yeah, and, you know, all the knocks on Speaker Ledbetter, and this is me talking, but, I mean, I lived through Democrat rule in this state, and I remember just the frustration with the Alabama legislature growing up and, you know, being a conservative and, you know, the teachers union and Paul Hubbard kind of acting as a shadow governor at times. But I know there's room for improvement, and it could be much, much better, Representative. But, I mean, this is much better than it used to be. And I would even argue, I don't know the inner workings of what's going on, but I would say I put it ahead of, if he's listening, it is what it is. But I'm much more satisfied now with Speaker Ledbetter than Mac McCutcheon or – and we know how the Mike Hubbard saga ended. What's your sort of view on, I mean, like you said, it could be ideally more conservative in Montgomery. There's no argument about that, but it's not terrible.
Well, you know, I think that credit where credit is due, this last session was just, I just feel like that each session that I've been in the legislature, moving through this last session, and obviously I speak from a limited perspective because, you know, I'm a freshman, and there's obviously, you know, it takes time to settle in and figure out and begin to understand, and, you know, how do I stand for what I believe in? How do I stand for what my district has suffered for and needs, you know, and the state needs relief and to defend you know, Article 1, Section 35 type of values, you know, the sole object and the only legitimate end of government, Alabama state constitution, is to protect the people and the enjoyment of their life, liberty, and property. You know, and so how do you learn, build relationships and learn those things and walk that out, you know, being a good, you know, just an enjoyable person? You know, you're going to be a good person, but principled too, because these things really matter. And so, like I said, I just felt like, just from my limited perspective as a freshman, that this past session, you know, we, like I said, that one Thursday was just such a highlight for me. And also, you know, there was another bill that I really wanted, and to the speaker's credit, when he, it was the bill on the release time instruction, and, you know, and it died in the House, but it came back through the Senate, and they brought it to the state government committee because they wanted to get it out on the floor. And I think, you know, when it became obvious that there were certain superintendent or school, you know, education, whatever associations that were, that fought this in our committee and ended up being a tie vote and died, you know, to the speaker's credit and to Lieutenant Governor Ainsworth's credit. I mean, Lieutenant Governor Ainsworth ripped him a new one online about that, because, you know, this is Alabama. This is not New York. This is not California. Okay. You know, and so there were a lot of things that I saw, again, from my limited perspective as a freshman, where you go from just trying to keep your head above water to, you know, beginning to get your feet grounded, see, analyze, watch, learn, look, listen, things that were, to me, were harbingers, good things that were harbingers of what's coming. And I think that, you know, some of that probably is all this post-COVID stuff. People are just, they see things now that can't be unseen. And it feels like that maybe, as I watch more and more people, you know, announce for races across the state, it just feels like more grassroots Alabamians are getting involved, are running for races, running for seats, being more vocal. And I think every Alabamian should be excited about that, because when the grassroots people start paying attention and get involved and look at financial reports and who pays whose political bills and on and on it goes, that is a good thing, because we are a representative government, and we need our people to be involved.
We'll talk about this, and I don't know what your expectations were. I mean, you upset an incumbent. I don't know if it was necessarily an upset, but you defeated an incumbent. It's a very hard thing to do in a lot of places, and I assumed it was very hard in your district. But you're a freshman, and here now you have 3 years under your belt. You're about to embark on your fourth year of the quadrennium. How has it been relative to your expectations before you even served a day here? Now you have 3 years. I mean, talk about that. I mean, I'm sure it's different, but in some ways, like, do you feel like you're making headway?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So, you know, I feel like that on the one hand, there are things that I knew just as a regular Alabama citizen, conservative, church going, politically involved, father of four, that there are things that were frustrations of mine just as a common citizen that have been verified, that the influence of special interest groups is far too much in Montgomery. But I also came to realize that part of the reason, this is kind of the education, part of the reason why is because we, the people, have not been as involved as we should be. Case in point, this past session, right? PBM reform. And I'm telling you, those pharmacists from across the state, whether they showed up and showed up and showed up and showed up, and that I've never seen a group in my life fight for something like how they fought. I mean, they did it honorably, but man, they did it passionately. And they were like, they were fighting for their financial future and for their families, you know? And I thought, man, what a great example of how to get involved and get engaged and show up in Montgomery week after week after week. And those are all voters, right? Those aren't just special interest groups that don't really vote in your district. Those are all voters, moms and dads running businesses. So I would say on the one hand, some of the frustrations have been confirmed about the influence of special interests and PACs. But in the backdrop of that, like my campaign slogan, make Alabama local again. Like, that's happened because we as a people have been too comfortable doing our thing, and we've not been forcing ourselves to be involved in our government as we should have been. And so, you know, I bring it back to the people in the sense that, like, this is, it's not a reprimand. It's not, you know, to the people of Alabama, it's an honor. It's our duty. It's a blessing. And we've got to stay involved. and not only in supporting financially our candidates, staying tuned into how they vote, right, making sure they're doing what they promised they would do, but also showing up and engaging in the process of the governing of our state. And that's what gets me excited about the future when I see more and more people so engaged. I'm like, I feel like I've ever seen in my life. So have there been things that have been confirmed as the same? Yeah. Have I learned some things? For sure. You learn, you know, more and more how to build relationships. You learn more and more who to reach out to, who to talk to, how to help your constituents, you know, whether it's an issue with ADECA or ALDOT or, you know, this group or that group or whatever. Those are all things that you have to learn. And I'm still learning. You know, there's lots to learn. But you also learn in the context of your principles how to hold fast when your courage is tested and tried, and how to use your position to make the people aware of what's going on, because that's where the magic happens. When the people get involved in mass, then change happens.
My and it's a frustration of mine, but I'm a longtime observer of this, and here lately, as I've gotten more immersed in it, it took me 20 years to figure out Alabama politics. It's not easy. It's just a very tribal state politically.
Sure.
But I think part of the problem is, and I think you kind of hit on it, it's public engagement, that the system generally kind of performs as it is intended to. But the problem is that you don't have as much public buy-in. You have low turnout in these Republican primaries. I don't think it's a true reflection of the state. A Republican supermajority that's not like hyper conservative is a little off-putting. But I think, like as you're talking about, if the public were more engaged, if the public were more bought into the state level of politics, because I think the public does a pretty good job understanding federal politics, understanding what's going on in the country. But to a lot of people, and you know, even candidates in some ways, look at what is going on in the state as kind of small potatoes. You know, that's not as important as what's going on in the White House, and that impacts my 401k or whatever it is. So the trick to me, and I don't know how to do that. I don't even know there's necessarily a responsibility from where I'm sitting here, but it's shows like this and what we do at 1819 and stuff, trying to get the public more bought into the system and understanding the system and why you need to pay attention to what the legislature's doing, who's running in the race and where they are and who's supporting them and so on and so forth. Because once you get that conquered, then you get more of a reflection of where I believe the state is.
Oh, 1,000%. And to that end, I mean, think about it. The Constitution was written for farmers. Like, our founding documents were written for farmers and the common agricultural folk to read and sit around the supper table and talk, debate. And that, you know, the fact that that was the case and that was read and done that way throughout the tables and homes of our country reflects the fact that the people were passionate. They were engaged. They were involved. They weren't concerned about American Idol. They weren't concerned about, you know, obsessed overly with sports or whatever. They were concerned and they were passionate about their faith and their freedoms and their families. And they took pride in the civic duties and responsibilities. And so, you know, that's where what we've got to do is we got to glorify, magnify, build this up in the eyes of our people. Like, this is your glorious heritage. This is your privilege and your right and your duty and your blessing to take these documents, read, you know, small discussion groups, iron sharpening iron, go for it, talk about it, get engaged. And when you do that, you know, there's the only reason why you have, to, like you made the point, a super majority that doesn't seem to always reflect or hasn't historically always reflected what you feel like should be public policy for a very red state is because our people have not been engaged and involved. And again, that's where I'm trying to use every platform I can, like a bullhorn, to call the people of Alabama to get involved and to stand up and make your voice heard, talk to your legislator, talk to your senator, educate yourself, and man, follow the example of the independent pharmacist. Man, they showed up and showed out, and they made a difference.
Representative, real quick, just a couple more minutes here before we got to let you go, but you got a couple of bills. Talk about what you got planned for the 2026 session.
Yeah, for sure. So there are a couple of things I feel really passionate about, several things, but of the two that I pre-filed, is HB 12 and HB 13. So HB 12 is the Alabama Right to Refuse Act. If you remember, you guys covered, I had a press conference with Heather Moore. She's got family and friends that have suffered from this. It's very simple. HB 12 is all about Alabama Right to Refuse. We're not doing vaccine mandates, okay? We're not doing mandates on our citizens. We're not doing mandates on our businesses. We're going to let that decision be made between the people that it should be, which is between the doctor and the individuals involved on the basis of their personal medical history. And so, you know, the fact that we're still having to deal with this, yeah, is it true that we got an administration in D.C. that's protecting us? Yes, which is why we need to pass the law now. While we don't have federal kickback opposition or people making excuses about losing federal dollars, we need to pass it now. So in a nutshell, I had to go to funerals. People died because of this. Let's take a stand. Alabama Right to Refuse Back Act, HB 12. And then the second one is HB 13, Lake and Riley Act, which you guys covered, you know, last session. It passed the House, passed out of committee, and the Senate was just flying along, doing great. And then, of course, the Senate just kind of slowed down, filibustering and so forth. Some of the Democrats in this, a lot of good bills didn't make it across the finish line. But yeah, that my bill actually predates Senator Britt's, and it's from Georgia. And then in a nutshell, it's just, hey, state and local law enforcement, y'all get to enter into an MOU, a contractual agreed upon relationship with the federal government to enforce existing immigration laws. Because let's face it, state and local law enforcement, they know where the crime is. They know where the issues are. And hey, like my campaign slogan, let's make Alabama local again. Let's bring the responsibility and the authority to bear in our local law enforcement, local communities. And that's how we will ensure our safety, by us stepping up to the plate and taking responsibility for it.
Representative, we got to leave it there. We're a little long, but thanks for making time for us. And we'll do this again soon.
Sounds great. It's my honor. God bless you guys. Hope to have a great rest of the show and be praying for you.
Thank you. You're very, very kind. Representative Ernie Yarborough there. We got to get a timeout in here. Jeff Porter for Phil Williams on this Tuesday afternoon here on Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.